And it's so exciting for me every Sunday to get to come and to get to see you guys and to get to be in this place with you guys as we worship. The worship team does a great job. And I want everyone just really quick to look over here. We have our wonderful Miss Aveline back with us today. So praise God. She's not playing the piano yet, but that's coming back, okay? So just continue to pray for her healing. Continue to pray that God's just gonna help her physically so we can hear those beautiful piano playing again for our worship time. So that's great. I'm really excited. Like, this is a good day, right? Do you guys know that today marks the fourth month? This is the beginning of the fourth month that I've been here. We've been here for 3 months. That's awesome. And here's what that means. Here's what that means. You guys have passed the 90-day return window, so you're stuck. Sorry. No more refunds or exchanges at this point. We're stuck here. For the last 3 months, it's been really great. I've been looking around. I've been trying to learn what it means to live in Ogle County. My family has been trying to learn what it means to live in Ogle County. This is the smallest community we've lived in, but it's a beautiful community. Like, it's amazing, more so than we thought it was going to be, just to be completely upfront with you guys. It's been great. We've been learning what it means to be a part of Leaf River Baptist Church. We've been learning what different people's personalities are. We've been meeting with people. It's been really, really cool. And you guys are getting to know me a little bit more as we spend time together. You guys are beginning to judge me, right? And be like, well, stop talking now, Pastor Billy. It's time to go eat. And I get that. That's okay. We're beginning to get to know each other, and it's really, really exciting because this is a family, right? Like, this is a spiritual family, and it's been amazing because every single person that I've talked to about this church and I've asked their opinions, here's what every single one says. It's a family. It's a family. Like, I've asked some of my friends, and I've asked others that came to the church for the first time, and I said, what is it that you notice? Like, tell me your perspective of the church. And here's what they said. I didn't notice anything about the building. I just loved the people. Like, the people welcomed me, and I felt like this was a family. And that's amazing, because that's happening right here. And I think that you guys should be excited about that, because it doesn't happen everywhere. It just doesn't. I've learned some stories. I've talked to you guys. You guys have welcomed us into your family, and that's been really great. And I love hearing the stories of the past, because the stories of the past is what's leading us to the future, right? Because as we grow from the past, then we can grow into the future, whatever that future looks like here at Leaf River Baptist Church. And so together we get to make new stories as the future unfolds here. And so I'm just really excited about that. But let's talk about just for a moment this family atmosphere. Okay, because again, this is what I've heard from everyone, is this is a family. And a lot of people are out there looking for a family. Like, there's a lot of people in Ogle County looking and wishing that they were part of a family. And that's what's right here. Like, this is a family. And as this week I was thinking about this concept of family, I was reminded, and you guys are going to laugh at me probably, but that's okay because you laugh at me all the time. But I was reminded of myself in high school. And when I was in high school, I had a group of friends, and we all really looked out for each other. Like, we really had each other's back. And some of them I'm still connected to, and some of them I'm not, right? Because that life happens. But we actually considered ourselves family. Like, me and my close group of friends, we considered ourselves family. They were rough. Like, we were rough with each other. We fought with each other, just like families do sometimes. But when it mattered, we really had each other's back. When people were down, when people were going through stuff, when good stuff was happening, we were always right there with each other. And I remember occasionally there would be someone that would want to start hanging out with us. And we had a pretty tight-knit group of friends. And occasionally other people would want to start hanging out with us. And we'd let them hang out with us a little bit. We would actually tell them that if they wanted to be part of our family, that there were certain things that they had to do. Now, we're in high school. We have this family. And we would tell them that there's certain things that they had to do in order to be accepted. And I remember this one time, and here's where you're going to laugh at me. I remember this one time, I was with my group of friends, and there were these couple of guys that wanted to start hanging out with us. And we had been watching them to see if our personalities were good, right? So we're getting to know them. But here's what we told them. We told them that if they wanted to be part of our family, that they had to let us take turns hitting them. And they had to just stand there while we all hit them. And for a high school boy, that was the best thing in the world. Like, I got to hit people for nothing. So it was great. So we all took our turns hitting these guys, and the reason is because we wanted them to prove that they were committed to the family, to our family, because we were tight. We were close. We wanted them to prove it. And it's crazy. But that's how much we all wanted to belong to something bigger than ourselves. And that's actually true across the board. Like, we all want to belong to something bigger than ourselves. We all want to be a part of something that matters in life. And we all wanted to have a group of people that we could say, these are my people. Like, these are my guys. These are my girls. We all wanted that. We wanted to be a member of this group because we felt like they had something that we needed. They had something that we needed, but also we were acknowledging that they needed something we had as well. There was a mutual need going on there. And I wonder if there's anything in common with my group of friends in high school and kind of how we considered ourselves a family and a church family. I wonder if there's anything in common, anything going on that would link these two concepts. So right here this morning, we would all consider ourselves extended spiritual family, right? Like, you look over in the room, you look down over here, you look over here, and you would say, that's my brother, that's my sister in Christ. Like, we're family. This is my extended family. So if there's a need, we're all in to take care of that need, right? We have Joe right now who has a need, and we're all in, and I know that every single person is going to walk out those doors and is going to sign their name to be able to take her a meal. Because we're all in. Because we care about each other. And when we're blessed, we want to share our blessing with other people. Like, we want you to know, look what God did in my life. It was so cool. We want you to know that. And we do that because we get each other. We understand each other. We have a commonality with each other. And we believe in what we're doing right here at Leaf River Baptist Church. We believe that there's something happening right here at Leaf River Baptist Church. And we all share this commonality of a relationship with Jesus. And so we're bonded together because of that. Because we have this relationship. So the question is, does that have something to do with something like formal church membership? Now, this is strange, and there's, you know, a lot of conversations that go on about church membership. But over the course of the next few weeks, I want us to explore that. I want us to explore, what is church membership? What does church membership look like? What's the purpose of church membership? And frankly, is it even biblical? Is church membership even biblical? So this group of friends that I had in high school, we actually had a process by which we would either include or exclude people from what we called a family, right? Like, we had things set up, and we would hear from them, we would watch them to see if they lived in a way that was similar to us. It was loose, but arguably a formal process by which they would join our family. We're high school kids. It wasn't like, you know, contracts, but we would pay attention and we would build those relationships to either include or exclude people. We would hear from them. We would watch them. We had some people that we considered fringe friends. You know, they weren't really part of the family, but they were kind of out there, and we hung out with them occasionally. Occasionally they showed up to our parties or whatever. They were fringe family. So why is membership important? Like, when I was in high school with these group of guys, why was it important that we actually felt like we were family? And it was more than just, you know, we hung out together, but there was this formal connection with us. Why was that important? And why is that important? Is it important to formalize membership into a church family the way that I did with my friends in high school? Is that important? Or should we simply focus on attending on Sunday mornings and maybe a Bible study occasionally and maybe a couple times a year a prayer group? Like what is the level of commitment that we really should have as a from a biblical perspective? Are we okay with just attending occasionally? Is that a good thing? Like these are the questions I just want us to begin to start asking ourselves over the course of these next few weeks. And that's the question I want us to look at. Is membership important? And here's the reality. The reality is that most of you guys have been around for a long time, right? Most of you guys are absolutely committed to Leaf River Baptist Church, right? And a lot of you guys are founding members of this church. Like, you've been here for 35 years since the church started. We all know what membership is. Like, I grew up in the church. We all know what membership is, right? We know that if we're a member of the church, we get to vote on various things, like this meeting coming up on October 20th. We get to vote on who's taking positions. We get to vote on the budget. We get to vote on various things. We all know that being a member is having a voice with what's done with the facilities and having a voice with how things happen with the finances of the church. We all know that that's what membership is. And we understand that a relationship with Jesus is kind of the foundational commonality that we all have as we join together in church. But is there anything more to membership? Is that it? Is it just voting at a meeting? Is it just putting a name on a piece of paper so that we can look like we have a lot of people on a piece of paper? What's the purpose? Why do we do it? So I want you all to just bear with me over the next several weeks as we step back, and I want to just ask everybody to step back, clear your mind, and let's take a fresh look at what membership means. Let's take a fresh look, and I'm doing this too. Like, I want you guys to join me in this journey as we take a fresh look at what membership means and what it means to be a member, specifically here at Leaf River Baptist Church. So the first thing I want us to begin to look at today is if membership is even biblical. Is it even, like, I hear from lots of people, we're all a member of the global church, right? Like, at the moment of salvation, we're a member of the global church. But is being a member of a local church even a biblical model for us? Especially in the culture that we live in today, there's so many organizations that are filled with so much corruption and scandal and junk. Like, why would you want to put your name to that? Why do I need to officially join something? And I've talked to a lot of people over the years, a lot of people. And I can tell you that I've heard some objections that, frankly, I don't disagree with. Like, there's some stuff about churches that is strange, that is weird. And there's some churches that maybe aren't doing things in a biblical way. And so that's why I want us all to just step back and say, what does the Bible say about this? What does the scriptures teach us about this? I've heard people say things like, I love Christ, but the church is ugly. Right? Like, have you guys ever heard someone say something like that? Like, I've got a great relationship with Jesus, but you know what? The church, the organizational church, that's just ugly. Maybe you've heard somebody say something like, you know what, I've matured to the point that as a follower of Christ, I can grow better on my own than I can in a church. Like, I can study the scriptures myself, I can listen to a sermon online, I can listen to K-Love or to whatever worship music I want, and I can do all the church stuff on my own in my house. Because the church, I don't really need the church anymore. Because it's ugly. Now, let me just ask you real quick. If you have ever said something like that, let me just challenge you real quick to never say that again. And I'm going to share with you why. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I want us to look at something real quick here together. If I can find it. There it is. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Check this out. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Here's the thing. Paul is using this analogy that the church is the bride of Christ. You guys have heard that before, right? The church is the bride of Christ. So Paul is using this picture of a husband and wife and putting church as the bride of Christ and Christ as the husband. So keep that picture in mind. And now imagine if I were to walk up to you and say, hey, brother, man, I love you. I would do anything for you. But you know what? Your wife is ugly. Is that a friendship you want to keep? Like you would probably punch him in the nose. Now, think about that. If the church is the bride of Christ, and you're telling Christ, man, Christ, I love you. I would do anything for you. But man, your bride, the church, is ugly. Think of how offensive that is. Now let's think of another picture. We've all know that the church is the body of Christ, right? Like, that's another analogy. The church is the body of Christ. So husbands, bear with me for just one moment and imagine if your wife walked up to you and said, honey, I love you so much. I would do anything for you, but your body is awful. Like, I wish your body was not even around here because your body is so ugly. Is that a mature thing to say in a relationship? No way. So think about this. I've grown to the point where I don't need the church anymore because the church is ugly. That's not a mature thing to say. So if you've ever had those comments, if you've ever thought those things, let me just challenge you and say, don't do that. Because that's offensive. That's offensive to Christ. This is the type of thing that people say all the time when they're arguing against church membership. When they're saying, I don't really need to be part of a local church. But the question isn't, are there objections? Because there's clearly objections, right? Because if there weren't objections, there would be a lot more people in churches. So there's obviously objections. But that's not the question. The question is membership biblical? Is membership biblical? Because if membership is biblical, then we have to figure out how to remove the objections. We have to figure out how to take the objections and say, that's stupid, get out of here. Or, you know what, here's something we need to change maybe within the way that we do things. We have to remove the objections if it's biblical. But if it's not even biblical, then it doesn't matter, right? Like we can say, great, we don't need to be members of a church because it's not even biblical. So today I want us to start looking at that. And we're not going to get really, really far today. I want us to start looking at that. Now, what I want us to do is simply look to see if there's some sort of New Testament model that we can see that would support the idea that church membership is biblical, that it's a biblical practice. So we're going to be looking at one main passage over the entire course of this series, okay? But every week, we're going to pull in multiple other passages, okay? So go ahead and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 12. And I heard another pastor give this example, and so I'm going to use it this morning because I thought it was a really cool example. So I'm going to steal his example. It was a guy by the name of David Platt. I'm stealing his example. So here's what I want you to do. While I'm reading this passage, we're going to read verses 12 to 27. While I'm reading this passage, I want you to count how many times you hear the word part, member, or body. I want you to count those words. How many times those words happen. And maybe even underline them or highlight them or something so that you can go back and you can see these. So as I read this, I want you to count that and see if we can keep up together. So verses 12 through 27, here we go. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Now, if you were able to keep track with me, I'm going to give you just a second to go back and count your underlines and get your mind together and see. I want to see if you guys have the same number that I have. Maybe you can correct me. I counted 36 times. 36 times in 16 verses that those words are used. Within 16 verses, we see that God is referring to Christians as part of a body or members of a body. 36 times. That's a lot of times, guys. In such a short little section, that's a lot of times. So here's what God's saying. God is saying that Christians are individual members of a greater body. Christians are individual members of a greater body. Many times people will read this passage and they'll say, of course I'm part of the body. I joined the global body when I accepted Christ as my Savior. So I'm part of the body, of like the global body of Christ. However, is that what this passage is saying? Is this passage talking about the global church? Let's look back at who this letter is written to, and maybe that'll give us some clarification on what's being described right here. So look back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes a letter. So let's see who Paul writes the letter to. These pages are tiny. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes. I don't know if that's pronounced right, but that's what we're going to go with. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with those who are in every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Right here, Paul wrote this letter to the church of God that is in Corinth. Paul wrote this letter to a specific church. You see, if Paul was speaking about the global church, then he would have said to the church of the world that happens to be part of it is located in Corinth. But he said to the church of God that is in Corinth. There is a specific group of people right there. There's a specific body of believers that's being written to right there. Now, let's talk for a minute about this word church. Because the word church actually isn't church. So let's look at this. The word that is used for church is ekklesia. Okay, that's the Greek word, ekklesia. That's how you pronounce it. And it actually means assembly or gathering. It doesn't mean church. That's not the literal definition of the word ekklesia. That's the word that we use for church. That's not the literal definition. The literal definition is an assembly or a gathering. However, through the context of the New Testament, throughout the entire context, we can see a little bit about how this term is used. This is the term that is used to describe the assembly of believers at a particular location, a gathering of believers at a particular location. Now, I did a little bit of research this week, and I found that the word ekklesia is used 114 times in the New Testament. 104, that's a lot of times. That's the entire New Testament, 114 times. But of those 114 times, at least 90 of them, at least, there's some that are questionable, at least 90 of them are used to speak of a specific group of people, not a general group of people. In other words, 90 out of the 114 are talking to a specific group of believers, not the general body of believers. Let's look at another example really quick. This example is really cool. Romans chapter 16, verse 3 through 5. Goodness. Romans 16, verse 3 through 5. It says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Ep, we'll just call him Ep. He was the first convert to Christ in Asia." So here's the thing. We see here that Paul is greeting specific churches. You see, he didn't say that greet the church where part of it are Gentiles and part of it are here and part of it. He said, greet the churches that are in Gentiles, the Gentile churches. There's multiple of them. Greet them. And then he goes on to say, and also greet the church that meets in your house. And now the houses that they would meet in, let me give you guys a little bit of clarification on those houses. These would be very large houses. This is not you're in my house. This is a very large house where they could have a gathering of about 100 people in their house. Okay, they had upper rooms, they had areas up top above their houses, and that's where they would have the church. So this is not 4 to 5 people meeting in a living room. This is a group of people. This is a larger group of people that are coming together. So Paul is greeting these specific people. We didn't see that Paul was writing to part of the church that is in Corinth, or parts of the church that are Gentiles. We see throughout the New Testament that Christians are individual members of a greater body. Christians are individual members. You and I are individual members of a greater body. There's an author by the name of Jeremy Kendall, and he says this: God calls for his people to gather corporately, to submit to qualified leadership. We talked about that in our Titus discussion, to submit to qualified leadership, to come under the teaching of the scriptures and faithfully partake in the ordinances, what we have right here today, and to exercise the authority Christ has given to them. God calls for his people to gather corporately, to submit to qualified leadership, to come under the teachings and faithfully come under the teachings of the scriptures and faithfully partake in the ordinances, and to exercise the authority that Christ has given in them. Over the course of the next few weeks, I hope that we can all faithfully look at what it means to be a member with fresh eyes. I hope that we can all, myself included, join together and humbly grow in, or humbly renew, our understanding of what membership is in a church, of what that actually looks like. Or maybe we need to take time to talk to God and look at the commitment that we've made to our God, and maybe even the commitment that we've made to our church family right here. Maybe over the course of these next few weeks, we'll talk through that. Next week specifically, I want you to come back next week, because I have three ways, I'm just going to give you this little teaser, I have three ways that the New Testament talks about church and shows us that church membership is actually a vital aspect of the local church. There's three ways that we're going to look at that throughout the New Testament. So I want you to come and listen for that. But for today, I want to ask that you begin to think about your commitment to a local church, whether that's LRBC or some other church. I want you to begin to think about your commitment to a local church and what that commitment looks like. As a matter of fact, I want to leave you with this question for you to talk about while you're eating snacks outside, maybe Sunday school as you guys are gathering together. You can throw this question out there: what does church membership mean to you? What does church membership mean to you? And I want you to begin to think about that. I want you to begin to talk about that, because here's the deal: you guys all have great stories, and it's encouraging when we hear each other's story. So what does membership mean to you? I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to talk for another minute here. But Father God, God, I just thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you so much that you've given us your word so that we can understand things, so that we don't have to make our own decisions, but we can simply look at what your word says and apply that to our lives. That it's encouraging when we read things throughout scripture and we see how they apply to our life. And so I ask that you show us that over these next several weeks, that you show us how to apply these scriptures to our life. And God, as we leave here this morning, I ask that you will bless each of us as we begin to think about what membership means for me. I thank you, God. I thank you for the work that you're doing here in this church and in the church globally and in this community. I think you're doing great things here, God. And so I thank you for allowing me to be a part of the things that you're doing here. Amen. Now, I have a little bit of family business to talk about real quick, and I hope you guys will bear with me for just a moment as we prepare for communion. I want to focus on one specific passage this morning. If you'd look again at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. I want us to focus on this passage as we close out this morning, because we do have a member that is suffering at this moment. We do have a member that needs us to all come around. We all think of Jo and how she's not feeling very well. She's been diagnosed with 2 forms of cancer. And so we all want to lift her up in prayer for comfort and healing if it's God's will. Since we're a family, I have something else. I have a book right here. And this is a book, it just says, Jesus gives us the hope we need. And here's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to begin to pass this book around. And what I'm going to ask you to do is write something in this book. I'm going to ask you to write a note, a scripture, a prayer, something for Joe and Mike. And we're going to pass that around. And this book is going to be here for the next 2 weeks. So think about it. Think about, what do I want to say to Joe? What would be encouraging to Mike? What passages have blessed me that I think would bless them as well? And write them down in this book. And the book, like I said, it's going to be here for the next 2 weeks. And so I want to encourage you to write in this. Write something that they can take and they can read and they can pray over as they're walking this journey with hospice, bringing her home this past Tuesday. So she's at home right now, and hospice is caring for her. Maybe it's a special memory that you remember about Joe. I want to ask you that you not leave this morning until you've had an opportunity to write something in the book. And you can write something else next week also if you want to. I want us to lift her up in prayer and lift Mike up in prayer. So later today, we're going to have an opportunity for special prayer. And at that time, I'm going to ask that Merle and Sherry stay seated for Joe and Mike, and that we surround them in prayer.